And the beat goes on. He'll break on through to the other side.
Hajjad's LA. I'm the coach. This is Lark.
Hello, hello.
Big news in Los Angeles football this week. Have you heard about it, Lark?
A little bit, but the LA Kiss, I believe that's what you're talking about, right?
The LA Kiss. The Kiss.
Arena football team being played out in Anaheim, even though they are the LA Kiss. I don't know if the LA Kiss of Anaheim, but they are the LA Kiss, and I'm excited.
So are they stealing the Angels kind of little gimmick where we're going to be the LA Kiss Anaheim, or are they just going to be straight up LA Kiss?
No, I think they're just going to be straight up LA Kiss.
Well, if it's Gene Simmons, it makes sense, you know, just to keep it simple. And, I mean, it's Kiss, for God's sake.
But I don't know if you've ever been to an arena game. They're like rock concerts anyways. They have indoor pyrotechnics. And supposedly for season ticket holders, which I am going to be, they are going to have a private
Kiss
concert for those who buy season tickets. I'm excited. Starts in March.
Well, when I was back in North Dakota, we had the indoor football league that kind of went through the Midwest. In the first year that Bismarck, North Dakota had the Rough Riders, we made the indoor football league championship. So not so much arena league, but indoor football league. Well, basically football indoors in a short stadium. Yes, experience with that. But
when I was a kid in high school, we went, you know, we got our licenses and started drinking. We used to go watch Mass Marauders play in the Worcester Centrum all the time. A lot of fun. You know, 17, 18, 19 years old, slamming down a 12-pack between three of you and going in and watching those games. Blast. I can't wait. I love arena football. The pace is great.
It is a good time. It is good. I mean, that's the big part about it is just the pace. I mean, it is, you're clapping, you're cheering, you're high-fiving. It's fun.
It's a great show. Yeah. I can't wait. It's perfect. Perfect. I'm sure Gene Simmons will be at all the games, Paul Stanley as well. Oh, can't wait.
You can have a better promoter than Gene Simmons.
No. And I can't wait to buy the T-shirts and see all the fucking guys who show up in full Kiss face paint. Can't wait. I will be one too. Nah, forget that. I'll sweat it all over my face, over my neck.
I mean, they talk about Raiders games being like a Halloween every Sunday. That's what those LA Kiss games are going to be like.
Right. And that's March through August. I believe the Arena Bowl is this weekend or next weekend, but it's March through August. It's not in the same season as the NFL. Back to school, man. First week of school. That's why I really can't really sit back here and drink and do this show, because I go into school and I just, it comes out of my pores.
You're a professional.
And I'm a professional. Although last week we had a rally and I went out the Thursday night before and had a couple of drinks and more than I thought I was going to, but you have to watch a particular area in the rally in the gym, you know, you're in charge of that area, like security. And I just crop dusted the whole section of the rally and the, you know, I just turned around. I just walked from the top of the bleachers to the bottom. And by the time I turned around, I looked back at the freaking faces. Kids were turning on each other. It's one of my favorite things to do in the locker room as well. Just crop dust the entire locker room and just turn around and see the reaction. Because nobody thinks it's going to be me. I'm a teacher, for fuck's sake.
Classy move, my friend. Classy move.
Do what I can. We had a annual black and blue in a squad scrimmage on Saturday. You know, not pleased. I don't want to get into it too much. We're not where we need to be.
How are you not pleased? Like, what's the frustrating part about it?
Schematically, we don't know where we're at, and that's coaching. That's me and my other coaches as well. We haven't set something to hang our hats on. This is what we are. This is what we're gonna do, and we're gonna do well. Some of that's injuries because, you know, that's football, especially high school football. We'll talk about that a little bit later, but I'm just not happy. But the good news is tomorrow's a new day and you keep going forward and you keep looking for improvements. And that's what coaching is. You just keep on, you got to keep on working. It's a struggle. It's a grind. But, and then one of the other things I want to talk about, we had a freshman JV scrimmage, and one of the things that really was a sad thing. We had four freshmen being taken off the field and going to the hospital, four of them, in a freshman JV game, which, you know, it just makes you think. I'm someone who devoted their whole adult life essentially to football, and shoot, if I had a 13, 14-year-old kid and see him getting carted off to the hospital, I would think twice about it.
Now, is that your reaction? Like, let me back up. Do you think that's an overreaction of the time we're living in, or were those kids, did they have legitimate injuries to where it deserved the ambulance being there? Because I remember at one time, I told one of my coaches my wrist hurt, and he goes, "Oh my goodness." And he grabbed some dirt and he rubbed dirt on it, and he goes, "I think we got it taken care of." I go, "Why?" He goes, "Well, no one can see that injury now. We covered it up." And he goes, "Go back out of there on the field." And so that's the way he kind of treated that, because he knew I was just being weak. But in the time that we have now, it's different. You can't get away with a stunt like that.
Fair point, especially a kid who's never really played, because the dings you get when you play, your finger gets smashed between two helmets. I mean, it's, if you're not used to it, it's a shock to the system. And you know, that's what you said. Fair point. People, we live in an age of overreaction, but what's the, you know, if you don't overreact and a kid dies, what the hell?
And that's a good point too, because just in Atlanta this week, there was a scrimmage that was going on to where an underclassman, DeAndre Turman, he was involved with the tackle and ended up breaking his neck and dying right there on the field. And that's just the
horrible.
Stat. Horrible. It is a horrible story, but we all know that could happen at any time. I mean, especially those that have played the sport.
That's true. And statistically, and this sounds cold, it's more likely to happen in a car accident. And it's, you know, thinking of the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hits that happen every day from Pop Warner through the pros, but it's terrible. I don't know. I'd be a hypocrite to say that, because I love the game so much. I put so much into it, but you got to think twice about it. We're playing first scrimmage game next week against opponent San Dimas. San Dimas High School football rules until next week, and we stomp on them. But they're coming through. There's an interesting story as well in San Dimas. They've been a powerhouse program for the last 5-6 years. Quick story, their best running back, kid who went for like 1,500 yards last year, tried to transfer it to another powerhouse, which is a little bit down the road, by the name of Upland High School. San Dimas put the squash on that. They said, "Oh no, you can't transfer. I don't want to get into CIF rules," but they're fairly convoluted rules. But bottom line, the kid couldn't play at Upland, so he and his guardians went around and ratted out San Dimas for handing out weight gain shakes. And a little backstory: a team by the name of Alhambra just got their whole coaching staff fired last week for handing out weight gain shakes that evidently had creatine in them. The investigation's going on San Dimas right now. I don't know exactly what they're handing out.
Yeah, that's an interesting story. I mean, especially too, it's like, like I said, me and you are both coaches, and we've been doing this a long time. Anytime I'm starting to give kids drinks or anything like that, I have a little ticker in the back of my head or a little voice that always says, should you really be doing that? I mean, even though you're handing that child or that athlete a bottle of water that's never been opened before, you know, like, the imaginations people have with needles and this and that, or you're doping this and that. Like, why even open yourself up to that type of controversy?
Right, I mean, right. It's getting amazing. To that point where I wouldn't do anything.
Exactly.
I'd give him water. I wouldn't even give him a salt tablet. Remember back in the day, I'm a little bit older than you, that when you came, you had to pop in a salt tablet before you went out in the practice field. You remember that?
Well, I don't necessarily remember that, but I remember hearing a lot of the stories. Like my cousin, in my family, I don't have any brothers and sisters, but I got a lot of cousins. And so when they were kind of telling me the stories of their war stories of high school football and wrestling and stuff, those were the stories I got, were like the salt tablets or the pee charts. They would have to pee next to a card and see what color their pee was to see if they were hydrated or not. Those are all the stories I heard back in the day.
Different day and age, different time period. Speaking of different day and age, this is, NCAA football. Johnny Manziel, did you read that article on ESPN?
Maggie? No, I did not. I've heard a lot about it because a lot of people have been talking about it. It seems like the one thing, like, I love Fox Sports. I like how they take a raw look at things. But it seems like, well, and this is the part I hate about ESPN. It seems like ESPN, once they get a little snigget of something, you have four writers writing about the same thing that's just alleged. And Fox Sports takes that and they make fun of the ESPN writers about all this alleged stuff. But again, they're still broadcasting the same alleged information.
I didn't get a chance to watch.
And so there's so, like, I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. I didn't get a chance to watch Fox Sports 1, but I've been seeing the hype, and I see that Regis Philbin has a show like The View, like a sports freaking The View. I can't stand Regis, nor Kelly, nor Michael Strahan. And I can't believe
Fox. I don't mind looking at Kelly, though.
Yeah, I can't believe Fox Sports 1 is still rocking that stupid fucking robot Cletus for every fucking thing. I thought 1995 when they started broadcasting the NFL, I was like, oh, this Cletus thing will go away, this fucking robot thing. The fucking thing's for everything. I mean, Joe Buck, they won't freaking go away.
Oh, God. If we could get, like, honestly, like, I know Joe Buck. Some people just love him. I cannot stand the guy. And I used to be a Yankees fan, and I couldn't even stand him when I was a Yankees fan because they do most of the Yankee games when it came to, like, the postseason.
Him and Mikava, please.
Oh, it was brutal.
Speaking of which, I hope the Red Sox don't win right now. Last time I was checking, 3-3.
Girardi's out. A-Rod beamed.
Yeah, good. Well, I don't want to get into the A-Rod thing, but yeah, ESPN just brutal with the cover of Johnny Manziel, but I read the magazine and they're talking about Johnny Manziel. And one thing that took away from the article, other than the fact that he is statistically the greatest season of all time for a high school college quarterback as a freshman, he's sitting there and during this interview ordering drinks, and he's 20 fucking years old. He's with his grandmother. He's there with his dad, who was a millionaire. I didn't even realize that they were oil tycoons. And he's ordering drinks out at this bar, and he's 20 years old. Nobody's saying shit to him. And they're writing the article about it. Interesting. I don't believe he's going to play at all this year.
Well, honestly, I would think in Texas A&M's best interest, they're better off sitting him because there's so many potential haphazards that are going on here. And we've seen, like said, what's happened at Penn State. We've seen what's happened at Ohio State with, like I said, the things that come up after the fact. And there's right now, there's just so many possibilities that could come up after the fact.
Well,
you
can't compare Johnny Manziel to what happened in Penn State. But I don't want to talk about Penn State.
No, but even Ohio State. I mean, tattoos compared to what's going on here.
Yeah, very similar thing. Which leads me, is segue. It's called a segue, Lark. Same thing, Brian Kelly. I saw a snippet on him this week. Brian Kelly, the coach of Notre Dame, and it kind of pains me to shit on him because he and I's background are very similar. We grew up in a similar area. He went to high school in a town a couple next door to me. He coached at a college that I played against and coached against. So there's that, you know, relationship. So you want to see him do well, but I don't know if you know what a gauntlet is. It's like a thing with multiple arms on it that running backs run through. And he had it backwards, and he told the kid, run through it. And the kid's like, it's backwards. Like, it's not backwards. Run through it. And the kid ran through it and just bounced off it. It was all caught on video. And he was on Deadspin.
You know, if I never played football, do you know what the first reference of gauntlet I would have in my brain?
No.
It'd be of an arcade game that you were on a flying bird with a big pole, and you were trying to knock other people off.
Elf and the Thor and the different ones. It's a great game.
It is a great game.
Which brings me back to Brian Kelly real quick. You know, why I feel bad kind of talking shit about him. This whole thing with that sending that kid up in the scissor lift in hurricane force type winds is fucking criminal. You got Johnny Manziel signing his fucking name and getting $7,000, whatever. Johnny's going to make his money anyway. But Brian Kelly sends a kid up in a scissor lift, which I don't know. Have you ever been up in a scissor lift, Lurk?
I have, and I'm afraid of heights, so I don't really want to take my opinion as a justified opinion. It's going to be one-sided.
Fairly unstable things, and especially with hurricane-like winds. In Notre Dame, I've never been there, but I've heard a lot about it. It's right by Lake Michigan or something, and the winds are ferocious. And he sent him up there, and the kid was texting and tweeting, I'm going to die. He did fucking die, and not a damn thing happened to Brian Kelly. Not even a fucking slap on the wrist. The selective outrage in sports media and in people in general, it blows your mind because he is directly responsible for this young man dying, and nothing came of it.
I completely agree. And like I said, me and you have both been head coaches of multiple sports and teams throughout the years, and throughout your term, like whether you're in season or out of season, you're always thinking, what can my athletes do? What's best for them? And not even just the athletes, but you're thinking about the people around it, their parents, your student managers, your assistants. You know, what are their abilities? What can they do? And I don't want to put them in any harm's way, especially when you're going to different locations or different scenarios. And I'm from the Midwest, and I know how the winds get back there. And just, again, when you know things are going that fast, it's ridiculous.
Simple, right? Yeah, a simple fucking thing. All right, we won't tape this practice or we'll tape it from a more stable ground and nothing happens to the fucking guy. Amazing.
And how important is tape, for God's sakes? I mean, I understand the importance, but like I said, we could go one practice without freaking filming it. I think would be just like, all right.
Or ground level. Yeah. Or a little freaking stand that's like 7 feet off the ground. Instead of sending this poor fucking kid up 35 feet or whatever the fuck it was in the air and he dies and not a goddamn thing gets done about it.
Completely agree.
Amazing. Let's get into the pro football game. Before we get into the AFC preview this year, I read an interesting article on Aaron Hernandez in the Boston Globe on Thursday. And the Hernandez thing is one of these things that came into this. I didn't want to talk too much about it. I don't want to give that fucking clown too much of my airspace. But it's an interesting article talking about his mother and his upbringing, because originally you were led to believe that his parents got divorced. His mother was this single mom raising him. His old man died when he was like 16 and he kind of went off the deep end. Not true. His mother got married to somebody that was married to her cousin, second marriage, right after they split. She got married to this guy, so who knows what they were doing before. This guy was an ex-con. This guy ended up beating her, evidently in front of Aaron when Aaron was like 11. Went back to jail. Mother filed for bankruptcy right then and there. Then the mother started becoming, she started taking bets for a bookie. I don't know what that's called. Bookie, I don't know, but she was taking bets and she collected over $500,000 in bets in 1 year. She ended up filing for bankruptcy again. I told you the ex-con went to prison, and then his real father died. And the whole point of this is the apple doesn't fall from the tree. What's in the cat is in the kitten. He was raised really poorly.
But honestly, he seems like he's been trained really well, because every time they show him on TV in those courtrooms, he is calm as any cucumber I would ever see in my entire life.
Ice water in his veins, no doubt about that.
Yeah, that's the part that creeps me out.
What the fuck is happening in Boston, man? My freaking, you know, my hometown, where I'm from. Between the last 6 months, you got the Whitey Bulger trial, which I won't get into. You got the Aaron Hernandez thing. Are you familiar with Jerry Remy? Do you know anything about? No. Okay, Jerry Remy is a longtime Boston announcer. Long story short, his son just stabbed and killed his fiance the other day, last Friday. Brutally murdered her in front of a bunch of people. It's like, fuck, every time you look around, Boston's sports is Boston in general is being linked to murder. It's terrible. Terrible time for Boston, well, unless you're following the Red Sox and the Patriots, which leads us, it's called a segue lurk. It leads us to the AFC preview, which we are going to spend the bulk of the show talking about the AFC pretenders and contenders.
And before we get into the segue to the AFC preview, just want to let you know, if you want to get a hold of us, you can get a hold of us at Twitter at Hard Yards LA. Twitter at Hard Yards LA.
You could be the third follower, getting on the ground floor.
Bingo bango.
If we have any call-in, any giveaways, you got a 1 in 3 chance of winning the ring giveaway. Well, let's start in the East. It all started in the East. AFC East preview. Going first, and I don't want to get too caught up in this because I could probably talk the next 36 minutes about this, but the New England Patriots, 12-4 last year. Key additions, Adrian Wilson, Leon Washington, your boy Tommy Kelly. You're a fool because Tommy Kelly's a baller.
Whatever.
Danny Amendola.
We'll see 4 weeks into the season how much a baller he is.
We will see. Danny Amendola, who's a stud when he stays healthy. LeGarrette Blount, big, strong physical back. And, of course, Tebow, who I don't think is going to make the team. Did you watch it?
Yeah, he's not looking too good.
Again, he pounded the rock, but he was 1 of 7 or something like that. And I'm going to eat crow because I've been to Tebow, I guess, supporter, I'll say it. And some of my friends out there know that I've supported him, but they're not using him right, but he's still 1 of 7. I don't think he's going to make the
team. But here's the thing. It's like there's no excuse left for him, because now he has the head coach as his coordinator that drafted him. And so this is the guy that had the ultimate image for him to draft him number one, and now he's his coordinator, and so they're reunited. So if there's going to be a Tebow guy out there, it has to be Josh McDaniels. And Josh McDaniels has to have a plan for him. And obviously, if it's not going to work in New England, it's not going to work anywhere.
In the NFL. Well, right. Yeah. No, fair point. But also, you have to question the judgment of Josh McDaniels, who was run out of town in Denver. Okay. And look it.
I'm going to say one. I wanted Josh McDaniels to stay in Denver. I will say that right now.
Right, as being a Denver hater.
As a Denver hater, I wanted him to stay. So.
Well, here's the thing, and I think I touched upon this in the first podcast. The Patriots have not won a Super Bowl since Charlie Weiss and Romeo Crennel left town. And everybody likes to shit on old Charlie, but tell you what, I really like what they did offensively. They pounded the rock. They play action. They threw the screen game because Tom Brady puts the ball where Tom Brady is 18 of 20. In the preseason, and everything you read, he had the scare this week, but he's fine, it seems. And everything you read, they say he is in better shape and is better now than he has ever been, which is scary. Patriots have lost the top five receivers from last year: Deion Branch, Brandon Lloyd. What happened to Brandon Lloyd? Nobody wants him.
I don't get it because he's produced. I mean, that's the thing. He wasn't a high draft pick, but when he's been with the Rams, when he was with the Broncos, when he's been with New England, when he's got his time on the field, he produces big, and he's not the home run hitter. He's the guy that can get you 80-yard touchdowns.
Made some big plays last year.
Yeah, and I'm with you. He's a wide receiver I draft my fantasy team because I see the big play that he can have.
You probably do a lot of things in your fantasy world, don't you, Lurk? Oh. Speaking of fantasy, you know, look, I've played it and I've gotten a lot of enjoyment out of it. But here's the deal. You're looking through these magazines, you got Trent Richardson ranked 40 slots higher than Tom Brady. I don't want a part of any fucking thing that thinks that Trent Richardson is a more valuable player on the field than a guy like Tom Brady. And I'm not fucking going to blow Tom Brady anymore, even though I think he's the greatest quarterback, and when it's all said and done, we'll be far and away the greatest quarterback of all time. But Trent Richardson is not in the same fucking field as Tom Brady, but yet in the fantasy world, he is way better than him.
Well, Coach, I'll tell you how this works in the fantasy world. Trent Richardson has a lot of touches. Tom Brady has a lot of touches because he touches the ball all the time, but Trent Richardson touches comes through catching the ball and running the ball.
We'll score touchdowns.
And a lot of those yards are big points in fantasy.
And I don't like anything that disregards offensive line play and minimizes defensive play. I'm an offensive line coach, and you just completely disregard the offensive line and you minimize defense. That's my piece on fantasy, but, you know, I'm willing to talk about it because it is fun. Fuck, who are we fooling around? Big games for the Patriots. They open up with Buffalo. They've got a tough non-league schedule. Again, at Atlanta, at Cincinnati, a team I have a lot of respect for. New Orleans is always tough. Pittsburgh at home. Denver's always going to be good. And Houston. So they got a tough schedule. I got them at 12-4 still. I still think they're going to take the East. Let's rip through the East real quick. Miami Dolphins, 8-8. No, 7-9 last year. I got him at 8-8 this year. They're a big blow. Dustin Keller's out for the season. You see that?
That's tough. He's good. I think he's underrated as a tight end. Even though a lot of people consider him a good tight end, I think he's still underrated.
Solid player.
Yeah.
Picked up Mike Wallace. Lost Reggie Bush.
I think just going back to Keller, I think he's one of the guys where his blocking gets very underappreciated.
Yeah.
Hence being an O-line coach that you are.
No, it's true. To be honest with you, this is how ignorant I am. I saw him being cut it off. I thought he was a white guy, and I saw him cut it off. He's a black fella. I thought he was a white guy. But no, I am familiar with Dustin Keller. They lost Reggie Bush. Reggie finally is coming to his own. Reggie is a talented guy. Anybody who watches football knows that. But he had really two big back-to-back big seasons. Jake Long is also gone, who was a captain.
Yeah.
I think they're going to struggle, although I do believe in Tannehill. I think he's a stud. I think he's a player. I don't know anything about Lamar Miller, to be honest, which I never really watched him play. I watched Daniel Thomas play a little bit with the Saints. I got him at 8-8.
Honestly, I think that's being generous because anytime you take away a rookie quarterback's running back and main offensive lineman, how can you expect a rookie quarterback to move forward a second year when you take away his running back and his main offensive lineman? I think the Dolphins are going to go backwards.
Really? Yeah. 6-10?
Yeah. If that.
I think Tannehill is really, really good. And I like Joe Philbin guy. I watched Hard Knocks last year. I liked him. You know, I think Mike Wallace is going to help him out. But you might be right. I don't know what I was on when I picked him at 8-8. But who knows? Any of these fucking predictions, like you talked about earlier, I mean, they all go out the fucking window. But at least I got it down on paper.
By week four, due to a rash of injuries, everything could just flip around.
It's such a fluid situation. Yeah. You have no idea what's going to happen.
Great line before about injuries in the NFL. What was it?
No idea.
No idea. All right. Well, maybe we'll get back to
it. Buffalo Bills, 6-10 last year. Head coach Doug Marrone from Syracuse. This is a team that's going to be interesting because they're coming with a new style of offense that you're going to see, which I don't want to get into too much, but I need to touch on it. It's all reacting on what the defense is. It's essentially a triple option. And what it is you're either going to run the inside zone, you're going to run what's called a bubble screen, meaning the inside slot wide receiver is going to bubble out and run backwards and hit like a little, what's called a bubble screen. You're going to throw out to the wing. Or the inside guy out of three receivers is going to run a vertical. Now, where they get away with this is the offensive line action's the same, because the difference between being able to throw the ball out of a run play is you can't get linemen downfield. You guys all know that. But with the inside zone run scheme, it takes them a second to get downfield. So they're just blocking the run. They're blocking that inside zone run scheme. Defense is reading that offensive line. So they see that run, they react like hell. All the quarterback has to do is go out and count the numbers and where they have the advantage. So if he sees that they're spread out, this is the whole thing with the quote-unquote spread. If the defense is overcompensated to the receivers, they're going to take the numbers game and run the ball inside. If they're playing the run, or the outside linebacker, the force player, plays that run hard, he hits that vertical right up the seam. If they only got two guys over three, they'll throw that bubble. But the beauty of that stuff is all of it looks the same. And that, it's what's happening in the NFL. And that's where the game has changed. Because in college football, you got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of teams and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of coaches that are experimenting. But in the NFL, they don't really experiment because they're so worried about their job and they're worried about the ownerships. And these guys get fired so quickly. But in college, you get these teams that, hey, we got nothing to lose. We're Ohio University as opposed to Ohio State. We got to take some chances. And that's when innovation comes, when people decide to take chances. And it has trickled up to the NFL level, and now it's a matter of time before you see just about every team running those triple options, which is different than the dive option. I don't want to get into that too much.
Now, Coach, with this, we've seen last year where Colin Kaepernick is the one that kind of spearheaded all this, but he's a different type of athlete when it comes to what we consider the normal quarterback. Do you think that they are going to need that type of quarterback, or could like the Peyton Mannings of the world or the Tom Brady's that are not mobile do that same job?
No, it's a completely different philosophy. You can't do that with those guys who are slow footed and run.
So is there going to be enough of those guys to go around for 32 teams to do that type of offense?
Look, I'm not saying every single fucking team has to do that, but the trend will be. And look, when you're growing up in Little League baseball and in Pop Warner, what happens is, and it happens more and more and more, you usually take your best athlete and stick them at quarterback or pitcher, which is always blows my mind why pitchers can't hit better than they do in baseball, because they're always great athletes, and I'm sure they're always the best hitters on their baseball team until Little League, and then they stop hitting.
Coach, you watch Dodgers at all?
Yeah, I watch Dodgers, of course.
I watched the summer early in July. I was watching the Dodgers, and I cannot remember exactly what game it was, but Don Mattingly brought in Zach Greinke to pitch hit.
Yeah.
Pitcher. He brought in his pitcher. Guess what his batting average is?
I had no idea.
It was .366 at the time, his career batting average.
When I start doing a baseball show, you can be my first guy, my first guest. So Buffalo Bills, I get them at 6-10. I get them at 6-10 again. Which brings us to the freaking Jets and your boy, Sexy Rexy Ryan. It's foot fetish. Although, I have mixed emotions on Rex. I've talked about it earlier. I respect Rex. I think he knows what he's talking about. I think his time in New York is done.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Key additions, DeJuan Landry, even though they lost LaRon Landry. They brought in DeJuan Landry from Jacksonville, safety, pretty good player. And Geno Smith, who you were talking about earlier as being someone who you thought was impressive.
I don't like his attitude. I don't like the way he's carried himself so far in his professional career.
A lot of red flags.
But I watched him play in a preseason game, and the one thing that really stood out was the beautiful ball that he throws. Just something about once that ball leaves his hand,
he can spin it.
It looks phenomenal. Like every once in a while, like with Peyton Manning, you're going to get a duck. You're going to get a little wobbler here.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a perfect spiral.
Drew Bledsoe was a guy that used to throw a beautiful ball.
He did. Good point.
And so I see a mobile Drew Bledsoe and Geno Smith.
I don't see them doing anything, though. I see him, again, 6-10, 5-11. D. Milner, I like, although they played really poorly the other night. Offensive coordinator is another retread, Monty Morningwig. What has he really ever freaking done? 6-10, 5-11 at best. So I have the AFC East, Patriots, Dolphins, Bills, Jets being last. AFC North.
This wasn't a battle. I'm not going to lie to you.
I don't think so. I believe there's one clear-cut team in the AFC North.
Really?
Yeah, and maybe I'm just getting caught up. But first team I'm going to talk about is the Steelers. Lost James Harrison. They lost Rashad Mendenhall, too, whose guys had a productive career.
But the AFC North did not lose James Harrison.
Yeah, fair enough. Mike Wallace. Mike Wallace is a guy. They picked up Jarvis Jones out of Georgia. Freaking really good playmaker in that Dick LeBeau scheme. Who knows with Troy Polamalu? 2-3 years ago, I would have said he's the best player in the NFL. He just can't get healthy. Can't seem to be healthy, so who knows? Although they did pick up a guy I really liked last year in college football, Le'Veon Bell from Michigan State. Big back who can pound the rock. Who knows what Ben's going to bring? And the guy's an offensive coordinator, a guy I have very little respect for, Todd Haley. You know anything about Todd Haley?
I know a lot about Todd Haley, but time out. Who knows what Big Ben's going to bring?
Injury-wise.
But the thing is, Big Ben's the guy that's proven he can go through injuries. He can battle. He's a dick, I think, in person. But I think, like, on the field, you're not going to get much tougher when it comes to quarterbacks and Big Ben and Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. I think those three, when it comes to injuries and durability, you can never ask anything more than what you get from those three individuals.
A lot of respect for Ben Roethlisberger, but he just seems like he's been... Yeah, no, I know. If he's healthy, let's just say this. If he's healthy, they are a factor. I have him at 8-8 again. They were 8-8 last year. I have him at 8-8 again. Who knows? Because I think this team is the class of the AFC North, and that's the Cincinnati Bengals. Maybe I'm getting caught up in Hard Knocks. Maybe I have a tendency to do that because last year I thought the fucking Dolphins were going to bring it. But the addition of James Harrison, who I like. You watch the show?
Yeah.
Oh,
I haven't watched complete episodes, but just little snippets here and there when I've been able to.
Just a mean motherfucker. You know what I mean?
To be honest with you, once I started watching the first episode, and a lot of it was Hugh Jackson this, Hugh Jackson that, with my couple seasons as Hugh Jackson as the coach of the Raiders, I just got a little tired of his talk.
I could see how that leaves a taste in your bad taste in your mouth. I like Tyler Eifert from Notre Dame. I think he's a playmaker. The guy Gio Bernard from North Carolina and Marcus Hunt, I don't know, that freaking giant, where is he from? Stanford or something, but he's a fucking giant Estonian or whatever he is, a Latvian. I don't know. And Ben Jarvis Green Ellis is a solid back. Watched him for years in New England. Guy just does not fumble. Dependent if A.J. Green is healthy. Geno Atkins is one of the best defensive linemen in football. Jermaine Gresham's a player. Pac-Man, we talked about last week, is on that team. And the guy's freaking talented. And here's the biggest thing about Cincinnati. Of course, Andy Dalton. Stability. Marv Lewis is the second longest tenured coach in the NFL behind Billy Belichick. I do believe there's value in a guy being a system and consistency year in and year out. And they made the playoffs the last 2 years.
You know, I like the Bengals. And honestly, I want them to do well.
Likeable.
Because I feel like I feel sympathy for the Bengals fans because I'm a Raiders fan. We have gone through misery for a decade now. We have yet to see any glimmer of success. And the Bengals were a team before we kind of fell in those depths. That's where they were at. But here's the thing is with the Bengals. I see them as a team filled with B or C plus players. Now the thing is, can Marvin Lewis be that A plus coach? that takes all that collection of B-type players and makes them into a Super Bowl caliber team. That's where I look at Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick takes a bunch of has-beens, takes a bunch of draft busts, and he gets that collection, and he's able to take that collection and know, how am I going to get the best out of these guys and win a Super Bowl? I want to see if Marvin Lewis can do that.
Nah.
They're solid throughout the board. Their special teams are solid. Their offense is solid. Their defense is solid. And here's the thing. I think Marvin Lewis might get a little too much credit because of Zimmerman. Their defensive coordinator.
Well, again, it's consistency in the staff.
But that guy's been a defensive coordinator in Dallas and the Bengals for so long, and his defense have always produced. That guy should be getting head coaching gigs, or should have been offered a job at this point.
It's surprising. I wonder if he has some kind of skeletons in his closet. How come he hasn't been offered a head coaching
job? His wife was sick with cancer for many years, and she passed away about 3 years ago.
What does that have to do with anything?
He's a very family man, just didn't really, his wife was fighting cancer, knew he could.
The defensive coordinator in the NFL spends a ridiculous amount of time in the film room.
Again, this is a guy who I respect, he has always produced.
And one of the reasons I think they're going to be a really good team, and I think they're going to win this division, and I have them at 11-5. Cleveland, Rob Chizky's is the new head coach. Norv Turner, another dust off, going to be the coordinator. I think Norv's actually a pretty good play caller, to be honest.
Look how good Brandon Whedon looked the other day.
Yeah, they're saying a lot of good things about Brandon Whedon. They said he's a stud athlete. He's a little bit older because he was drafted and played some baseball. I think, even though I was talking shit earlier, I think Trent Richardson is a stud. What's his name got hurt there? The number one, Bakavius Mingo got hurt, and they say he's going to be out for a little while. I don't know. I still think that could be a factor. 5-11 when I have them. Returning Super Bowl champions, Baltimore Ravens. Lost Ray, Matt Burke from Harvard. Lost a solid center. Ed Reed, one of the greatest safeties to ever play the game. Anquan Boldin, Bernard Pollard, Daniel Ellerbe. They lost a lot. Did pick up Elvis Dumervil. Mike Huff from your Raiders. How do you like him?
You know, honestly, for Mike Huff's first part of the career, I thought we overpicked. But as his career sustained on, last year I seen him go from safety to corner, and he did a solid job. I was actually sad to see Mike Huff go. I was very frustrated with his early career, but he's a player. He is a player.
I think Ozzie does a good job. Well, obviously, he's taken that team from scratch. And two Super Bowl championships in his tenure. And the team came into existence in 1996. Flacco, I have my reservations about him. The guy throws a good deep ball, and he won the whole fucking thing. Ray Rice is as good as you get. Torrey Smith is a player. T. Suggs is back, supposedly 100%. Still have him at 8-8. I don't know if my math fucking works on any of these teams, by the way. I'm just throwing out numbers. I mean, it's probably mathematically impossible for these teams to have these records. That's why I have the AFC North. I have the Bengals 1, Baltimore 2, Pittsburgh 3, Cleveland Browns 4th. AFC South, Houston Texans picked up Ed Reed. He had hip surgery. I don't know how effective he's going to be. If they can get him healthy for the playoffs, look out.
I think Wade Phillips is the key to that defense.
I think Wade Phillips is a great coach.
Well, he's a Norv Turner of defense.
Fair point. You know, he does a really good job. I think they simplify, which is a very underrated thing. Watching Hard Knocks the other day, Marv Lewis was talking to, I didn't forget who he was talking to, but he said, you know one thing I know? Simple is better, and I believe that 100%, especially as a high school coach. Everybody has to know what the fuck is going on. Make it simple. It's not a difficult game, but we make it difficult. We've always made it difficult. Coaches make it difficult. We outthink ourselves.
Well, what was that movie with where Denzel Washington was playing?
Remember the Titans?
Remember the Titans, where he's like, we're only going to do these 13 plays.
I think it was like 8.
Yeah, but like these 8 plays, we're going to do them perfectly. Everyone is going to know exactly what their role is,
My philosophy is you run 5 to 6 plays flawlessly, and then out of every one of those 5 to 6 plays, you have a home run counter to make it look exactly like that play, and you swing for the fences on those counters. You don't have to run shit. You depend on the level, but you don't have to run more than 20 plays. And I think that gets lost, especially in the NFL, because these guys, they sit around and all they do is dip tobacco and watch film. And they outthink themselves, and it's a paranoid by nature, coaches are paranoid because it's always about next week. It's always about, even if you won, it's always about what's going to happen in the future. So you're fucking paranoid all the time. And coaching is about lamenting about what happened and worrying about what's going to happen. You understand what I mean by that? You know, the present gets lost. So you, in the present, you can always put blame on the players. You didn't run this right. You didn't do this right. But I don't think a lot of introspection goes on with coaches and like, hey, I fucked up this. Probably does in the good ones.
Well, I mean, like I said, me and you have both played probably the role of head coach at some time. And we understand where all of a sudden we start getting criticism. We think, well, we're the head coach. We know more than everybody else. But again, we have to have trust in our assistant coaches to be, hey, this is where you might not be doing the job the best, or the team's not doing the job the best. This is where our focus might need to be. And it's all about, like I said, communication. Well, communication's key.
Yeah, well, it's always about talent and schematics.
There's many keys in this chest.
It's true.
Or on the ring.
moving on, I have AFC South Texans 10-6. Indianapolis Colts, interesting team. Of course, it all starts with Andrew Luck. They brought in former Raider Darius Heyward-Bey.
Awesome, I like.
Ahmad Bradshaw is a running back. There's some questions with him, although he is a producer. But it seems to be, and they lost Dwight Freeney and Jerry Hughes. I thought those were two guys that really provide some pressure for him. Freeney's bad battle injuries, but he's a stud.
Hey, don't forget about Bruce Arians, too.
And Bruce Arians is gone as well, right? He did a great job last year. However, this is one of the things. They brought in former Stanford coordinator Pep Hamilton. It'll be interesting to see what they do with Andrew Luck, though. I think Andrew Luck is a stud. I have them at 10-6 as well, battling Houston for that top spot in the wild card. Jacksonville Jaguars, I don't want to talk about them that much.
And why is that?
I just think they're kind of a joke of a franchise. Yeah. I think it's a joke of a city. You heard me, Jason Rose. 4-12 is where I had them. They were 2-14. Justin Blackmon suspended the first four games. MGD got into a fight, a bar fight in the offseason, coming back from a foot injury. I think he's talented. I don't think he's enough. Thiefel fourth the third, my favorite name in the NFL. Best receiver. Who knows about Blaine Gabbert? He looked all right. 4-12. Don't want to waste too much time on him. Tennessee Titans. Brought in Bernard Pollard, Sean Green, Pomona's own Delanie Walker, drafted Chase Womack, who was a fucking stud lineman for Alabama. It all depends on Jake Locker. They were 6-10. It depends on Chris Johnson. I have him at 5-11, and they brought Greg Williams in. Greg Williams and Bernard Pollard are going to be placing side bets on taking out fucking Patriots. Anyways, Bernard Pollard took out what? Tom Brady, Gronkowski, and someone else. Interesting. Match made in football hell.
I think that's a conspiracy theory. But
I got Indy 1, Houston 2, Jaguars 3, Titans 4. As I look at that, you might want to flip those two. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. I would like to go back. Why do you really see Indy overclipsing Houston? What? I mean, I see Indy.
Andrew Luck. It's a quarterback-driven league. And I think Andrew Luck's special.
He's special, but now there's going to be... all right.
Let's do the AFC West. I got the Broncos at 12-4. Wes Welker got hurt the other day. I think he'll be all right. Sean Phillips is a really good linebacker. They got from San Diego. They got Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie as well. Monte Ball, who I was always a big fan of at Wisconsin. Hey, and they got Peyton. I don't know, I don't like Peyton. I don't like Papa John's pizza. And Peyton on Saturday Night Live and the stupid commercials. Guy's a winner. He's calling his own fucking plays.
That's like he's just here right here in the studio. But anyway.
Oh, yeah. You like that impersonation? You like my Peyton impersonation? And now I'm getting older, and now fuck.
Now I'm doing rap videos.
Just let guys like Peyton Manning and Tom Brady call the plays, and you'll be fine. And that's what I think what they're doing in Denver. Lost McGahee, a guy I really liked. Lost Elvis Dumervil. Von Miller suspended. DJ Williams suspended. You're right. You know, I might be overrating them. I have them at 12-4.
I think the Chiefs are going to push them a little bit. You know, like, the Broncos are definitely the sign of stability in the AFC West. I think the Chiefs are on the rise. I have no idea what the Chargers are going to offer this season because they're just a mess. The Raiders,
Chiefs,
but we're going to be bottom
have basement. Completely overhauled their roster. Another Pomona guy, Hussein Abdullah, two Pomona guys. Alex Smith, I think he's a talented quarterback. Everybody's on Jamal Charles's balls. You know, he's had a couple big years. He's a good player. Andy Reid has had some success. But they had the league worst offense and the league worst defense last year. Don't know if he turned that around in 1 year, though they completely overhauled. Just that's a testament how poor of a job Scott Pioli did. Scott Pioli, the head of personnel. I mean, they did the league worst offense and defense. Jesus.
And I mean, that's the thing. It's like, you know, especially too. I don't know. It's like where he got so much credit and Bill Belichick got so much credit for what happened in New England. For
and Charlie Weiss and Romeo Cannell didn't get anything.
But I think a lot of this goes back to what you talked about before is you need this. You need everything to work. You need the GM, the head coach, the offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator to all be great and on the same page. And when you have those four positions, then you're locked in. But it's so hard to figure out how that actually happens.
Or you just get shit lucky and let fucking Tom Brady fall to your fucking everybody miss on him, because if they didn't have Tom Brady, they wouldn't be fucking a story.
You've seen the video of him in the NFL Combine that year. He had an indented chest.
Yeah, he's a winner, though. Which brings us, let's finish up the AFC West, brings us to the Raiders. 4-12 last year. Brought back Charles Woodson. I like that. Got Josh Cribbs. I'm a big Josh Cribbs fan. Give him the fucking ball. Is there a team that can get this fucking guy the ball? Matt Flynn. I think he's a solid quarterback. Terrell Pryor. Who knows? He might be battling for that. And Tyler Wilson was actually a pretty good pick. He's a backup quarterback as well. He's a guy with a lot of upside. The first round pick was questionable. DJ Hayden was a stud, but he almost died in practice. You know, did you ever hear about that guy?
Yeah, he had the tackle tour. Basically, his chest collapsed in and cut one of his heart valves.
Yeah.
And it was scary to where basically he was dead for a little bit.
Got to be a tough motherfucker to be able to come back from that and play in the NFL.
Honestly, in all the reports I've read, he's been fantastic at practice. He's ready to go. He's a gamer. They compare him a lot to Deion Sanders, to where he's not going to be your tackling cornerback, but he's going to be your shutdown cornerback.
That's why I always schematically like to try to force corners to make tackles. Don't block them. Crack down on the safeties and make the corners be your tacklers. How about McFadden? 3.3 yards per carry last year.
McFadden's an enigma because I think it goes down to his blocking scheme. When you do a zone blocking scheme, McFadden fails. When you do a lead blocking scheme, he is rambunctious.
What's that?
In health. Oh, that's true.
Last team, San Diego Chargers, 7-9. Head coach Mike McCoy, who was the offensive coordinator with Peyton Manning. Yeah. Added Dwight Freeney, my boy Danny Woodhead, Manti Te'o, good offensive lineman DJ Fluka. They got
a catfisher.
They got out of Alabama. Lost Quentin Jammer, Sean Phillips. It always comes down to Phillip Rivers. You know, he's such an enigma. There's a guy that has put up some huge stats and a guy who just looks absolutely awful at some points. Ryan Matthews, kind of in that same boat. When he stays healthy, though, he's a producer. Vincent Brown, good player. Malcolm Floyd. Nevertheless, I don't see them being a factor. I don't really think they're going to be that good defensively. I don't think that Phillip Rivers can really take them anywhere. I think they're going to be 7-9 again.
Do you know what's the sad part about this whole talk?
What?
That we've skipped over one athlete that I think could be the MVP of the league this year.
Who?
DJ Spiller. Or not DJ Spiller.
DJ Spiller, Buffalo.
Yeah.
Kind of glazed over Buffalo. Yeah.
I think Spiller could be the crap that...
You think he's that good?
I see him as the Chris Johnson of the Titans a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Where the Titans really weren't very good, but they were worth watching because you could see where Chris Johnson could go 80 yards in one carry.
He's electric.
He's that guy.
Yeah.
He's that guy.
Well, I would still be shocked if Buffalo won more than 8 games.
That's why I got his name screwed up because E.J. Emanuel, he's got hurt, though.
He's out for the rest of preseason.
Well, he's only out for 4 weeks, but so far he's looked pretty good.
He's a stud athlete, first quarterback taken.
Comparing him to Kelvin Cobb, who was supposedly a seasoned vet through Andy Reid, the quarterback guru.
Kevin,
I'm sorry. Sorry, Kevin, out there. but anyways, EJ's looked very comparable to him, and he's only a rookie.
No, I think he's a great athlete. Yeah. And what Marone's done at Syracuse, he's the same style of offense I was talking about earlier. I think they're going to be effective down the road, and they could surprise some people. You're right. I got Denver, KC, San Diego, Oakland. Here's my AFC playoffs prediction, which who fuck knows because that shit changes all the time. I got Denver with a 1 seed, Patriots 2, Cincinnati 3, Houston 4, Indy and Baltimore in the playoffs with the wild card. AFC championship, I got Patriots versus Bengals. AFC champs, I got Pats.
Man, I'd love to see how that changed after the first week's injury report.
No, I know it, right. You throw that shit out the window, burn this fucking thing. All right, let's bring us the last 5 minutes to a section I like to call spirals. Just want to throw out some random stats and some random fun things you read about as in the course of the week, because there's so much written about this fucking league. Who do you think has the highest payroll in the NFL, Lurk?
Now, are we talking like cap salary?
It's the highest payroll, period.
Highest, like with coaches and everything?
It's a good point, but I don't know. Highest payroll.
Highest payroll. Well, I'm going to say the Cowboys because they like to overspend.
No, they're not even top five.
Whoa! That shocked me, to be honest with you.
The Lions.
What?
It goes Lions, Texans, Falcons, Niners, Giants. Last team, take a guess.
Raiders.
Jaguars. Who's the only team in the NFL this year, last season, to lose money?
Jaguars.
Do the math. It's Lions again. They got the highest payroll. And they just, and they're building a new stadium as well.
Talk about common sense being missing from America. It's missing right here.
Franchise values of each team in the NFL. Go ahead and rank, you think, your top five. Well, give me just your number one, who thinks the highest.
Well, basically, I would think the Cowboys would have to be up there just because the notion of America's team. The Patriots, because, again, the same thing. They're the Patriots. We're in America. And, again, the Patriots have won 3 Super Bowls in the past
10 years.
And yeah,
12 years.
So I'd say Patriots have to be up there. Dallas has to be up there. And, you know, I'm just going to go nostalgia stake. I'm going to say the 49ers because of Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, and their history. And they're also considered to be a dynasty. And so I would say those three have to be in the top five.
Fairly astute. Dallas number one, Patriots number two, Washington Redskins number three.
Makes sense.
New York Giants number four.
Makes sense.
Houston Texans number five.
That one surprises me.
And it's freaking... It's Texas. And did you see they just built the biggest scoreboard than Dallas Stadium? You see that?
I did not
now
see
Now they
that.
Have the biggest scoreboard.
Oh, my goodness.
Everything's bigger in Texas.
Oh, my
God. Everything's bigger in Texas. Last team, franchise values, what do you think?
Jaguars.
Raiders.
Oh!
I know, right? That doesn't make any fucking sense.
And we have the history, too.
A little bit, right?
I mean, we definitely have more history than freaking the Jaguars.
Yeah. How about
I mean,
this?
Come on!
You're a science guy. Science! I can't really fucking get into it, but some scientists went and they valued the fan base of every franchise in the NFL, and they came up with a scientific study to rate the best franchise in the NFL. Go, quick. What do you think? Top three.
Is the...
Fan base.
The best or the worst?
Top.
Top or... Just because they cheer louder? Or,
I mean, I'll give you the real quick. It was box office revenues related to on-field success, market population, stadium capacity,
Broncos.
And medium income.
Broncos have to be up there.
No. It's Cowboys, Pats again, which I think is weird because I grew up on the Pats being not that popular. Jets 3, Saints 4,
Jesus.
Giants 5. Bottom, Detroit, Tampa, Arizona, Atlanta. Evidently, they're not passionate...
Yeah.
Falcons fans, the Dirty Bird has gone the way of the Dodo. And the last one?
Raiders.
The Raiders. Unfucking real. That's why I need to come to L.A.
They do. I honestly, I hear a lot of people bitching about that, but that's the one thing I'm really pushing for, especially being down here in downtown L.A., toward like the two sites where the two possible stadiums could be. And I think it would be a great thing for L.A. I think it would be the great thing for the Raiders. Both of them would make money. Both of them would get the publicity they want. It'd be fantastic.
I live really close to the Walnut site, and I think that'd be a fucking great site. It's right by the 57. Right by the 10. I think it'd be fantastic, but I don't know. People are like, no. It's not even that far away. It's about
What you could do with your high school teams, you know, like taking them to games and the field trips. And
you could have them work there. You could have them work there for fundraisers. Last two things before we're out. Ricky Williams, running back coach at the University of the Incarnate Word, which is a Catholic school in Texas, and he's a running back coach. I think that's great. I'm a big Ricky Williams fan. And the last thing I want to talk about, see, the NFL is trying to do HGH testing on ex-players. So now they're starting to be like, well, maybe it's not that bad. These guys are laying their lives and laying their bodies on the line. Now the NFL is kind of saying, well... Maybe HGH might not be that bad. Let's test it on the old players. What do you think of that?
I think it's ridiculous because, again, as a science guy, they never have a baseline test. They never tested them beforehand.
Right.
And so you need the pre-example and the post-example.
Science!
And so they're completely missing that.
Take us away, Give us a Twitter feed.
All right. If you want to get a hold of Hard Yards LA, we're at Twitter. It's at Hard Yards LA. Please join us there. Please give us your comments. Please give us your feedback.
Yeah, no Facebook, no nothing. I'm going to go sit in a dark room and spit tobacco and watch a film. Subscribe on iTunes as well. You can find Hard Yards LA. All the episodes on iTunes. This is the third episode. I'm the coach. This is Lurk.
Nope.
We're out. Pistol grip, pump on my neck at all times. Pistol grip, pump on my neck at all times. Pistol grip, pump on my neck at all times. They can be fucked with other niggas shit, but they can't be fucking with mine. Pistol grip, pump on my neck at all times. Pistol grip, pump on my neck at all times. Pistol grip, pump on my neck at all times. They can be fucking with other niggas shit, but they can't be fucking with mine. I was raised in the hood, caught what the death, where the brothers in the hood, we syphilis. So I rest the fence on my ligaments. Pistol grip up on my lap, risking it, full life, giving it, never giving it back. Too late for slipping, so slack up on my lap. It's on your lips, so trap shot. A steel dick, walk, flick for pump butts. All I'm saying ain't no question who the man is. In my civic, or at least show biz. I shoot a fool, kill a fool, come on, what you say? I think I take it all you motherfuckers, don't land. Pistol grip up on my lap at all times. Pistol grip up. Just don't be playing more of them guns. Aye, man. Pistol grip, pump on my neck at all times. Pistol grip, pump on my neck at all times. Pistol grip, pump on my neck at all times. They can be fucking with other niggas shit, but they can't be fucking with mine.